All right, everybody, let's go ahead and get started real quick. We're going to do a little devotion here. I'm going to try to keep it under an hour, so I'm just kidding. appreciate everybody coming out, but I struggled with the topic today. What should we talk about, right? It's about Mother's Day, but I wanted to keep them humble and not talk about them. So I talked about the family. I said, well, I don't know, right? So I ended up going back to the mothers, right, the ladies. And so there's always humility whenever you take either men or women and you approach it from a biblical perspective. There's always humility there. So I would like to talk about the importance of a mother in the home. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to approach Proverbs 31 from a different perspective maybe that maybe most of you are used to or traditionally. But if you want to follow along, you can. But Proverbs 31 is the last Proverbs of the book of Proverbs. And we're going to go through there. So when you look at the book of Proverbs, I feel that and believe that this is a poem that a gentleman named Lemuel wrote. Okay, Lemuel. And if you take a look at it, he wrote two poems. A lot of people say that verses 10 through 31, which is typically the Proverbs 31 woman, is kind of a separate thought, separate idea. But I believe that they're all one and the same. And this is Lemuel pretty much evaluating or thinking about what his mother taught him. And so let me go to Proverbs here. It would be better if I go and just read it instead of going off my notes here. All right, so it says, in the verse 1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the oracle unto which his mother disciplined him. Okay, this is his mother. So these are the thoughts of a young man. There's King Lemuel, and this is his mother, his influence that she gave him. So when you approach it from that perspective, I've always said that I feel that the mother has the most important position, the biggest influence on the, specifically the males in the home, okay? Their children, their sons. And so I believe that obviously behind every great husband, there's an even greater woman at home. But I believe that the husband was great because he was taught well by his mother. And so I truly believe that. Hello, how are you? I'm a little late there. So, yes. So if we take a look at this Proverbs, many claim that only verses 2 through 9 belong to Lemuel and that the rest of the chapter was an add-on. Others believe that it falls right under the title of verse 1. But I believe we see two poems here, verses 2 through 9 and then 10 through 31. Okay, without the covering of the title, verses 10 through 31 would pretty much be like an orphan passage with no context. We wouldn't even know who it was written to, who wrote it, or anything like that. No background, no author. But I believe that this is a section all pinned down by Lemuel. So, the name of Lemuel means belonging to God or dedicated to God. Okay. Where we see in verse 2, the mother saying, son of my vows, if you look at verse 2, it says, what, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows, right? So you see this woman here, in a sense, speaking in his mind. He's remembering, okay? So he's remembering what she says to him. One commentary, a gentleman by the name of Bruce Waltke, says, since such a king is unattested in Israel's history, he is probably a proselyte to Israel's faith. The inspired editor of the book of Proverbs adds Lemuel's wisdom to the developing canon of Scripture. Ancient Near Eastern wisdom was certainly well known in Israel. Okay, and so some think that this is Saul, or not Saul, but I went blank. Who wrote the Songs of Solomon? Saul? Solomon, right? Solomon. Ah. Cuckoo. I haven't had any breakfast yet, no coffee either, so bear with me. So yes, so some believe that Solomon wrote this, right? And so, sorry, I'm catching up to myself. Okay, so yes, but it's not, they believe it's somebody else, because David, right, was a king. And so we'll look further down and we'll see that that's not it can't be him. So again, Lemuel is somebody else different. Okay, so the words of King Lemuel, verse 1, the utterance of which his mother taught him. Okay, so we ought to be thankful for the words of King Lemuel here. For this proverb is the Mona Lisa of the biblical womanhood. Okay, so ladies, you impact your children in ways you can't imagine. Your words are ingrained in their minds, whether it's good or bad. Okay, whether you're a good or bad mother, okay, it still imprints in their minds, right? You spend probably most of the time with your children, I would assume. Okay. Now, verse 2, we see here it is. I'm probably not going to read the verses, so I'm just going to give commentary so we can kind of treat it like a devotion rather than a sermon. So here it is in verse 2. More modernly read, my son of my womb, son of my vows. Okay, so in a sense, she's asking for her son to hear her out. This is her, this is more of a parent-teacher command here, rather than as a child still under the rule of the home. She's kind of saying, hey, listen to my wisdom. Hear me out, not a command as if this gentleman is still at home. Again, when we get married, when we move on, that's the swap that we have to take. We command our children, but once they go on and move on their own, they're no longer under our authority, we have to approach them you give them wisdom and you give them knowledge, right, from that perspective, which is hard to do, but it has to be done. So at some point, let me see here. Nope. So also we see that she starts off with the present tense as if she is standing in front of him face to face. She says, my son, which is present tense, then son of my womb, when she carried him in the past, and the son of my vows, which is before he was conceived. So she's going across the whole perspective of life there. Okay. So more than likely, she struggled to get pregnant and vowed to God that she would raise him in his ways. This would explain why they seem to be real close to each other. Lemuel was an answer to prayer. This is not the first time we see this type of answer to prayer in the scripture. We see this in 1 Samuel 1, 8 through 18. But now the sayings of Lemuel's mother instruct us today. The Holy Spirit has placed them in his word and passed them down to us. Okay. So here we go, verse 3. So here, do not give to your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Here the mother is counseling the son to not overwhelm himself with women. Okay, she's speaking specifically about a certain kind of woman here, for they bring trouble and stain and reputation of the king. Okay, they can corrupt the king's sovereign power, waste his money, distract him from serving the people, blurs his wit, undermines his good judgment, exposes him to secret palace affairs. He squanders the nation's money on goods. Okay, so we saw this in the life of David and Solomon as well, right? Remember that with David's lust over Bathsheba? We see that. But I want to take this principle and also men or women the same way. There are men out there that are the same way, okay? And so be careful. There are men out there who will ruin you, who will waste your time, they'll waste you. You commit to them, you give to them, but they don't make that commitment, okay? So again, we see this principle about the woman is teaching the young man, but at the same time, it can be applied to the ladies and both the males at the same time. So show restraint in regards to intoxication. The next one, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. I'll clump these up together. So we see here that she counsels the king again, but this time from intoxication. In verse 5, we see its effects. We see it affects the sound judgment needed to avoid the law. It renders just verdicts, specifically for the afflicted. They make poor rulers. Injustice will go rampant because they're focused on themselves. As a king, this makes them liable to divine judgment. We see in Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. And then we see verse 6 and 7. One commentator, the Moody Bible Commentary, says that although the advice here may suggest a principle that in some cases alcoholic drink or maybe even any type of opiate may be appropriate to alleviate people's desperate sufferings, particularly those who are dying or perishing, more than likely it is a sarcastic statement here, okay? So it goes on to say, so if a king wants to give strong drink to anyone, it should be to the destitute, embittered in misery, and facing starvation rather than himself. Then at least they can forget something. worth forgetting, their poverty and trouble. So of course, over drinking, right, getting drunk will not fix the poor man's poverty. It makes it worse. So this is more of a sarcastic statement here. Okay. So the next verses 8 and 9, it reminds the king to speak. Open your mouth for the speechless. Okay. So again, he's remembering what his mother is telling him. And these are bits of wisdom and nuggets of gold. So once again, she counsels him to, instead of drinking or seeking women, to speak up for the unfortunate, okay, the afflicted, or those in need. Only the king can judge righteously, defend them, and remove their suffering from oppression. So the king should be a responsible spokesman for all who cannot defend themselves and plead the cause of all who are left to die. He would speak up on behalf of the poor and needy. Now, these few verses we just discussed are presented as if she was there again talking to him in person. Now remember, this guy's a king, okay? The things that she taught him were deep. They were nuggets of gold that wasn't just for the everyday life, right? So she really poured into this young man and really mentored, gave him wisdom. And thankfully, he paid attention, right? And they were recorded in his heart. And now in his own personal life, he's reflecting on his mother, okay? All right, so again, she deposited God's wisdom in the mind of her child or children. So this ends the first poem. Now the second poem is, again, Lemuel still thinking, right? This is another poem that he writes. The second poem is commonly known, like I mentioned earlier, as a Proverbs 31 woman, which is all, which is pretty much, again, the second half of Proverbs 31 of Lemuel's poems. Okay, the second point here. So again, this mother set the standard for her son. This is probably Lemuel watching his mother do all these things here. Okay, so it seems as if in the first poem that he is working through the things of life and polity as a king. The second section starts out with him looking for a wife. He now is thinking about what he should be looking for in a queen, someone who is worthy. This section is written in the form of an acrostic. Each verse begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet in the proper order. Okay, we will not focus on what that means today, obviously. We don't have that time. But again, it's an important fact to understand that this is a poem that he wrote it in this fashion. So I don't believe that the wisdom is personified as the wife, but that the wife here is a real person. There are some people who believe that this is a personification, but I don't take that position. So verses 10 through 12 talk about her value. Verses 13 through 27 discusses her activities. And then verses 28 through 31 praise her. So we'll start off here. Verse 10. So who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. A virtuous wife is translated as a woman wife of strength or valor. Okay. It gives the idea or picture of a woman who is strong in competence and character. The question asked in this verse is a rhetorical question. It does not deny her existence, but highlights the rarity and value she is, right? So who can find that? Like, it doesn't exist, is what he's saying. But they do exist, right? They may be rare, they may not be rare. Again, women, are we raising our children in this manner, right? So that they're not rare. So not even the most precious and rarest of jewels can meet up to her value. We see in Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Okay, so here this passage is talking about God's wisdom, but that's what makes her precious, okay, is her wisdom. So are we teaching our children wisdom, our girls wisdom? Are we giving them God's wisdom? And this is what a true man should see in the ladies, whether you're already married, your husband should see this in you. And if not, well, he's missing out. And young ladies, you need to make sure that you are attracting a man, and he's attracted to you because of your wisdom in God's word. Okay, Proverbs 12:4: an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. If you're not married, and the day that you get married, you should be that crown to him, right? That crown to him, and your wisdom is what makes you precious. Again, Proverbs 12:4, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones, right? We don't want to be that. So an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in the bones. So a man with this kind of wife has a rare jewel, okay? So again, men, hold value to your wives. All right, verse 11 here. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. All right, so because of who she is, her husband can safely trust her. This is important. You got to have trust in the relationship. Whether you're dating, whether you're married, it begins at dating. But at the end, once you're married, there has to be that trust. She has given him confidence and peace in his heart because of her integrity. Her finest efforts are put forth to help him and never fails. She is like a warrior in the battle of life. She is a great asset to him. I know when I go out of town, when I go do things for work, I feel this way. I've never realized kind of what that natural feeling was, or where it kind of, I knew it was trust, but when I go out of town, I have no problems leaving my wife behind, and because I don't have that mistrust in her, right? Hopefully her and me either. Hopefully it goes both ways. But again, very, very important. I'm not going to be spending half the day on the phone. What are you doing? Where are you at? Who's there? Right? So, yeah, she does track me. I just realized that she put a tracking mechanism on my phone. So I'm wondering why she stopped calling. But I get these funny texts that say, how's that place you're eating at? I'm like, but she'll name the place. I'm like, I put my phone on airplane mode. No, just kidding. But yes, so that's important, right? You have to be confident. What's that? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, when we went to some training in Midland a couple weeks ago, yeah, she was like, how's that steak? Or how's this? I'm like, how do you know I'm eating a steak? I'm actually eating oysters. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. So verse 12, she does good and not evil all the days of her life. She is committed to him for all her life to do him good and no evil. Okay. So now we see her activities from verse 13 all the way through 27. One thing I want to say about this, that she is committed to her for all her life. A woman will not commit herself to a man 100% unless they see the men leading in the home. A woman will always, lead the man, or lead next to the man, or sometimes it will lead the man because the man's not leading. But if you really want to see the woman in all her glory, then the men, you need to be leading, and you will see her right next to you. And it's a beautiful thing. And so I'm not saying I'm the best leader in my home, but when I do it right, when I'm on the course, then I can look back and see my wife there support me, and it gives me more confidence. It gives me more just desire to continue doing what I do. All right. So I'm kind of lifting my wife up because I'm going to throw a jab at her in a minute. So I'm just kidding. Hopefully I give her enough good. I'm just kidding. I did get her permission. Once I get that, I'll tell you. But I did get permission to use her as an example here. So verse 13. Okay, this is her activity. She seeks wool and flax. Okay. So wool and flax was used to make clothes. Clothes, right? So, and then the next half of verse 13 says, and willingly works with her hands. This tells us that she makes clothes for her family, or perhaps makes clothes to sell. She has no issues working with her hands, okay? Verse 14, she is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. So she is like a produce truck that shows up from afar with an assortment of fruit and veggies on the side of the road, right? Carlsbad Farmer's Market, whatever. Okay, she has a bountiful table at home as well, okay? So she takes the best for her before I go to the farmer's market. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Verse 15, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her husband and a portion for her maidservants. And this is the one that caught my eye for my wife. So she also rises while it is yet night. I said, man, while we're all asleep, my wife's up. And she's watching all her mystery shows. We're all asleep. I said, man, what a godly woman there. She gave me permission to say that. But yes, she also rises while it is yet night. So one commentator, Moody, says, unlike the sluggard, we see in chapter 26, 14 and 15, says, unlike the sluggard, we cannot get out of bed to feed himself. The excellent wife rises early before dawn to make sure the entire household, including her maidservants, has the food they need, right? This shows that she is compassionate, sacrificial, and hardworking. The word translated food often means prey, okay? This may suggest she is like a lioness, strong, cunning, and skillful, and providing for her own, okay? So she puts others before herself. She does wake up every day and make me a cup of coffee, so I appreciate that. So I'm trying to recover a little bit. So, verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. Again, so she's an entrepreneur. She considers a field, which means she is studying and evaluating it to make sure it is the right one to achieve what she's wanting to do with it. Okay? So, will it be profitable? All these things are going through her mind. So, she then buys it with her own earnings and plants a vineyard, either to sell byproducts of grapes or to resell the land after she improved it for profit. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and straightens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She prepares herself for her task with great vigor and enthusiasm. She is not afraid of strenuous work. She takes a quiet, humble satisfaction in the results of her labor. I do see this in women, especially when they're decorating, they're getting a home up to par. When a young lady is nesting and she's trying to get the home where she wants, right? It's very beautiful. I love walking into a home that's getting ready to be occupied by a new husband and wife, or they just went in and you can see where they're nesting. It's just a beautiful thing watching that. And so again, she prepares herself for her task with great vigor and enthusiasm. She's not afraid of strenuous work. She takes a quiet, humble satisfaction in the results of her labor. When others are asleep, she often works late into the night. Okay, verse 19, she stretches out her hands to the distaff. I'll let you guys read 19 through 22. But here, she stays busy by spinning wool and flax into yarn and thread. Okay, she finds time to help the needy. Okay, she is not afraid to share the family fortune with the less fortunate. She makes her own clothes for the winter, so doesn't worry about not having anything. Okay? She's doing her part there. Verse 23. Now, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. So her husband is a man of stature in the community. He can devote himself to public affairs without worrying about issues at home. And again, it looks like he himself is a leader. So now you see this woman behind him following and leading, because probably he is leading the same way. If he's considered an elder within the gates here, the elder of the land, okay, then he's a prominent man. So more than likely, she's following his lead, okay? Verse 24 through 27, they all go together, read them. So again, she works at home to make a little cash and wholesale to merchants because she is clothed with strength and honor. She has no fear of what the future brings, okay? We always used to say, and I think I believe, that if my wife and I lived in a box, we'd still be happy, you know, as long as we had each other there. So I'm not worried about what the future brings. She teaches her family how to speak wisdom and kindness. She watches her husband closely and does not waste time or engage in any shallow, unproductive activity. Wow, ouch, right? Sometimes, just throwing us both under the bus here, but sometimes we may argue or debate over something that probably has no meaning, right? Are you guys guilty of that? Please, somebody raise their hand. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, all right, here we go. Woo. Okay. Okay, and then verse 28 through 31, this is her praise, right? This I will read since it is Mother's Day. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her, and this is what he says. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Her children see that she is an outstanding mother, and they tell her. Her husband also praises her, for the Lord has given her to him. She excels them all, says the husband. Okay? We should be saying this about our wives. You excel them all. Your wife is the new standard. God has given you this woman. She is the new standard for you. Verse 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. So these next two verses confirms or amends that the husband has just said. A woman may have charm but no common sense. She may be beautiful but impractical. but the woman who fears the Lord is the best kind. Okay? Let her be honored for her diligence and noble character. Let the people praise her. Okay? I have mentored many men in my lifetime, and especially young ones who just recently married or just a few years married when I meet them. And it's so amazing to watch when the wife begins to grow in their spirituality, right? They begin, their sanctification begins to grow. And just to hear these men say, wow, man, I'm so like in love with my wife, or man, she's a beast, right? Those are men words, right? Girls probably don't say that. I'm a beast, my husband says. But is that true? Okay. And so it's interesting to see that, right? And so, again, this is the woman that God has given you. Again, our job as men are to mold these women. They are fragile cups. We are to mold them and teach them God's word. God, the Holy Spirit, does the rest in sanctification. But at the end of the day, we will be presenting our wives to Christ as the church will be presented to Christ. Okay? So, again, very important thing to think about. So, all right. Make sure that I go over my time. Okay, got 5 minutes left. Perfect. All right, any questions so far? Man, I'll put it back on you to answer. No, just kidding. Okay, so hopefully this wasn't too long. It wasn't too fast. I just kind of, it's the only thing I could think of to give you the big picture. Lemuel is talking about his mom here, okay? And he's thinking about his mom. And then now his mom is the standard. And he's looking for a wife, okay? So there was this kid back in Farmington. And they asked him, hey, what do you see in a wife? He goes, man, he goes, I'm looking for a girl that is as hot as my mom is what he said. I don't think that's what he meant, but maybe so. But anyways, when I think of this, for some reason, that poor guy comes into my mind. But anyways, he saw his mom as a spiritual leader. I hope so. And so we laugh and tease him about it. He's like, oh, man. He goes, that's not what I meant, but I did say it. So anyways, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll end and give you guys a few minutes back for fellowship. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for the women that are here today. I pray, Lord, that the men value them, Lord, because you have given them to us, Lord, as their wives, them as wives to us and us as husbands to them, Lord. And I pray for those who are young today who don't have any, that aren't married yet. I pray, Lord, for one day that if it is your will, Lord, that they find a husband or a wife of this nature, Lord. I know this standard is high, but this is the goal that we have, Lord. And although we may not get there, Lord, the goal is to seek after you, to grow into Christ-likeness. You know, context is key, Lord. Every culture, every time has different contexts and different times of need, Lord. And I just pray that you bring the right people to these young men and women, and that also that you guide us as married couples to be an example to them, to give them hope, Lord, and give them an example of what it should look like to live in a married Christ-like life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We just thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be just humbled today, Lord, by your word. We thank you. We love you. We pray in your name. Amen.